A recent report from the Urban Institute comes to a pretty shocking conclusion. States with more black residents have less generous welfare benefits. Vermont, for instance, about 1% black, gives TANF, or temporary assistance for needy families, to 78 out of every 100 poor families. Arkansas, about 15% black, gives TANF benefits to just 7 out of every 100 poor families. Oregon, like Vermont, about 1% black, gives a single-parent family of three in poverty $506 a month. Mississippi, 60% black, gives under half of that, $170 per month. The study concludes if the poor look like the people pulling the purse strings, traditionally largely white state officials, they will get benefits. If they don't, they won't. Heather Hahn is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute and one of the authors of the study. And Heather, I know you have some conclusions that are outside the question of race, but have I largely got your conclusion right when it comes to race?
Yes. So we found that state policy decisions on TANF are significantly related to race. States with large African-American populations, all else equal, have less generous and more restrictive TANF policies.
You say all things being equal, but are they? You know, is it possible that a state that gives out more money per poor family has fewer families in poverty? And since these are, you know, finite block grants from the federal government, is it possible poorer states have more demand for the benefit, and so to meet that demand have to give fewer benefits?
Well, one of the factors that we looked at was the child poverty rate in the state. And we looked to see if the child poverty rate was associated with different policy choices. We also looked at whether the share of the state legislature that was Democratic or Republican had an effect on the different policy choices. And those variables had some effect on some individual policies. But when we looked across the board at the policies, the consistent pattern was that the share of the African-American population was what was associated with the less generous and more restrictive TANF policies. And that's holding constant the child poverty rate and the political factors and other demographic and economic factors in the state.
And there are other differences as well in states with a larger African-American population seeking help. There are often more restrictions.
Yes. So if we take a specific example of the consequences for a family that does not comply with the work requirements, for example, most states, if a recipient does not comply with the work requirements, there are what are called sanctions or consequences. And often that starts with a benefit reduction that then escalates to the closing of the case or termination of all benefits if that noncompliance continues. There are some states where the first time someone does not comply with work requirements, the initial sanction is to close the case or terminate all benefits. And what we found was that if you look at the average state, this isn't any actual state, but a state that had all the average characteristics of the nation, there was a 44% likelihood that that state would have this harsh initial sanction where all the benefits are cut off the first time someone does not comply with the work requirements. If you took a state that was the same in every respect, except that the African-American share of the state population was 5 percentage points higher than average, then instead of a 44% likelihood of having that harsh initial sanction, there'd be a 54% likelihood of having that harsh initial sanction. So that's just one concrete example of how that plays out.
Well, there's other examples of differences. Oregon, again, a state with a largely white population, helps people get off welfare, tries to get them a job, pays their wages for up to 6 months when they're off welfare. Mississippi, which has a work requirement, doesn't help them get a job. So there's sort of a divide here. And 'twas always thus. We're reading a terrific piece in The Atlantic about the history of this kind of assistance. And originally it was called mother's pensions. This was the precursor to welfare, early 1900s. They mostly went to white women, widows. And in fact, caseworkers at the time denied these benefits to African-American women because they felt African-Americans should be working, and that was beneath these white widows. I mean, this is well documented.
Yes, there is a long history of racial differences in social welfare in this country. Providing welfare was a local responsibility and very subjective. And so to a large degree, welfare was available only to white widows or others who were deemed deserving or morally upright. And over time, and then especially in the 1960s, the federal government gained an increasing role in providing welfare, and with that established objective eligibility rules that opened access to African-American families in poverty.
Yeah, but even then, it's just so fascinating. Then President Johnson, launching this war on poverty, knew that he had to go and have a picture taken with a white family, a poor white family, to launch the PR campaign, because he knew that if he did it with a poor black family, he wouldn't get traction in Congress.
That's right. So what happened is, under these objective rules, more African Americans sought and received assistance, and so they were a larger part of the welfare caseload. And that contributed to a backlash that contributed to the welfare reforms of the 1990s that gave the policy control back to the states.
Yeah, this is under the Clinton administration. So we see the control going back to the states, and you seem to be tracking that kind of, I don't know what you'd call, I mean, it feels like prejudice, plays out in how benefits are handed out.
Right. So there is a stereotype that the typical welfare recipient is African American, and that's not true. In fact, about one-third of people receiving TANF cash assistance are African American. But that misperception influences how people think about who is poor and why, and shapes their thoughts about the policies that should address poverty. So those policies in some places are influenced by people's racial attitudes.
We should say there are more African Americans seeking welfare benefits relative to their number in the population.
That's right. So African Americans are disproportionately represented among welfare recipients, just as they are disproportionately represented among people living in poverty. But they are not the majority of cash assistance recipients.
Well, but this is such a vicious cycle, because that could be, that truth could be, more African Americans seeking benefits could be because they get stuck in this cycle, as opposed to the white poor who, as I mentioned, are helped out of poverty in many states.
Right. It's important to recognize, though, that the state policies themselves are race neutral. So within a state, the state policies apply to everybody equally. But what we see is that the effects of the policies are not equal.
Right. Congress is now considering block grants for other kinds of benefits. As you do this research, what's your thinking?
TANF is a cautionary tale about what block grants can mean. So based on what I see in TANF, I would predict that if we were to block grant other programs, we would see similar results, in that fewer families would receive assistance. And when we look across the nation, we would see racial disparities in the provision of that assistance.
And they're considering block grants for things like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. These are food stamps, largely for children and others. Heather Hahn, I know you had other discoveries in the Urban Institute research, a comparison between Texas and California, for instance, that doesn't have as much to do with race.
Right. So states have different philosophies and cultures about supporting low-income families, and those may or may not be connected to race at all. And so Texas, for example, is a state that I call a pull-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps state, where they expect people to support themselves. And it's a place where only four families received TANF cash assistance for every 100 families living in poverty recently. California is a contrast, where the state has made a commitment to serving vulnerable families, especially vulnerable children. And in California, 65 families received TANF assistance for every 100 in poverty. So it's hard to quantify or measure those philosophies. But when states have the flexibility to set policies, as they do under block grants, state philosophies will prevail in determining what those policies are.
And this underscores what we said at the very beginning. It has nothing to do with, you know, one state maybe having more demand for welfare benefits than another, because Texas and California are pretty much, you know, big states.
Yes, with high poverty rates.
Yeah. Heather Hahn, senior fellow at the Urban Institute and co-author of the new study, Why Does Cash Welfare Depend on Where You Live? Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, your thoughts. Are you surprised to hear that only 30% of recipients of TANF benefits are black? States with more white recipients have more generous benefits. We'd love your thoughts at hereandnow.org.